The lesson today is a great lesson that I love. It is one of my favorite books, although it is one of the most misunderstood books because of the way it's been taught. It's the Song of Solomon. It's called the Song of Songs. In fact, Solomon wrote 1,005 plays. The scripture actually tells us that he wrote 1,005 plays. However, only one play made it into the scripture, and this is it. It's called the Song of Songs, which is another way of saying this is the best of the best of the best. Of all that Solomon wrote, this is the best, and this one is very, very special. I want to start like I have before in some other lessons with you with a cast of characters. I have them on the board. I'm also going to show you them on the screen. First of all, the first character and the main character in the order that they will arrive to us speaking in this play is the darling. She is the darling. She is a Shunammite girl, and she is in love, and in fact, she is already betrothed, and we know that because she talks about having her veil over her face. She's betrothed before this guy shows up, the king. He's the king. He shows up, and his group guys find this beautiful darling that we've just talked about. They find her, and they load her up. And they take her down to the king's place, and they put her into the next character that shows up, which is the harem. The harem, she calls the harem the daughters of Jerusalem, and they are the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, I want to tell you how this works, and we know this from inside the Bible. In the book of Esther, we learn that whenever they are collecting the beautiful women for the kings, they would take the women and they would take them into a special harem where they would bathe them and they would anoint them with oil and they would feed them special foods and do all of that type of stuff for a year. Once they have done that for a year, then they are waiting for their opportunity to go and visit the king for a night. Out of that harem. Once they have visited the king, they never go back to the original harem. They now move over to a harem that now is filled with women who have already visited the king. So those who've never been with the king are in one harem, and those who have already been with the king are in another harem. And these are called the daughters of Jerusalem because they are truly the women who belong to the king. Solomon, by the time he dies, is going to have 700 wives and 300 concubines. And guess where those concubines are? In the harem, okay? They belong to the king. And therefore, whatever the king wants, they seek to provide. And the king wants this beautiful darling, this unbelievably gorgeous girl. He wants this, and so he expects the harem, his daughters of Jerusalem, to put pressure on her to become one of them. And we see that in the text as we'll go through the play. And then, of course, there's the beloved. Now, the darling speaks about her beloved. They are already engaged, by the way. And the beloved, after the engagement has happened, has gone off to pasture his flocks to build a house out of cedars and all of that, to prepare the crops and everything so that when it is time, he can come back and he can get his darling to come with him. But the problem is the king has gotten her after she's been betrothed and taken to him, and it's time for her to be in the king's chamber. Well, the beloved is off doing his business, and she can't stand it being in the king's chamber with him. The king has a couch over on one side, and in that room there's a window. She's looking out the other way, and she's between the window and the couch. And also, I did not draw it on the board, but there is a banquet table just filled with all sorts of raisin cakes and food. We're going to hear about it in the play. And the king will say something to her, and she will respond to the king, and then she will turn and go a different direction and look out the window and respond as if her beloved can hear her. She dreams of her beloved over and over. She dreams of going out into the streets to find him, to catch up with him, because she does not like being in the chamber with the king. The king's on the bed. She's actually sitting on the bed too. She's on the end of the bed, and he's on the other in the bed. But remember, they called those bed couches back then. They did not call them beds like we do. They called them couches. And so that's the reason why I use it. And it looked like a couch. They slept on what looked like a couch in the king's chamber. So we have the beloved, and he is a wonderful guy. And we also have the terrible, lousy brothers. She's got some lousy brothers. In fact, right up pretty close to the front, the king gets the brothers and gets caretakers to take care of land, and the brothers are angry with the sister, the darling. It's the brothers of the darling, of this person right here. It's the brothers of the darling. And they make her care for their land while they go off and do what normal brothers do. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Because the king has set all this up because the king is trying to put pressure on her to become his wife. He, the king, is Solomon. This is Solomon. Solomon plays himself, calls himself Solomon. He, at this point in time, when this play is written, Solomon has 80 wives. He's going to have 700. He's got 80 wives. And he's got 60 concubines. He's going to have 300 concubines. By this time, Solomon already has a son by the name of Rehoboam. Now, I just want you to do some quick math and quick realization of medical problems. Solomon, at the end of his life, has 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he has one son. One, no daughters, no other sons. He has one son. I will tell you this. The reason why Solomon has so many wives and concubines is because he wants another child. But the child doesn't come. And the son that he has is a blubbering idiot. And Solomon knows it. He writes a 9-chapter letter to this son in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 9, it shouldn't have chapter breaks. It's one letter to Rehoboam, telling him how not to do what he's doing and how not to follow in his father's footsteps. And then you pick up at chapter 10 in the Proverbs, and right there it says it in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And from chapter 10 through chapter 29, those are these wise things that Solomon has learned about the world, that people from all over the world come to Solomon's throne to hear Solomon tell about the world and the wisdom. The problem is Solomon studied the wisdom of the world, but Solomon never studied God. So he gave worldly wisdom, but he never gave godly wisdom, not at all. And you have to understand that when you're studying the Proverbs. It doesn't mean that the Proverbs are godly wisdom. In fact, some of them are flat rank. But they're still the tales and little quips of thought that Solomon had. Well, Solomon is not a good guy, and he does not play. He is the evil one in the Song of Solomon. The beloved is the good one, the one that she loves. In fact, Solomon is really in love with this darling, but she turns him down flat. She will not, and you're going to hear that in the play as we go on. And the first verse says this: the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It's the best of the best of all the plays, which is Solomon. Now, you can read along, and I have masks that I'm going to be holding up. And I'm playing all the parts. Does this look like me? She's prettier than I am, isn't she? Yes, she is. All right, she's prettier. And I will hold up the mask so you know who's speaking. I need to explain this. This is a play. And if we read Hebrew, we would know exactly who's speaking by the structure of the sentences. But we translated this into English just as close as we could get it out of the Hebrew. We don't see the same structure in English that is there in the Hebrew. So I had to research this greatly to determine, there's some great scholars on this, how we know who is speaking at what time, because it's a play to be listened to and to be watched. So here in your mind, I want you to picture up, here is this Shulamite woman, the darling, who is sitting on the edge of the couch. The couch is near the window. She can look out the window looking for her beloved to be coming for her at any time. But on the other end of the couch is this guy, Solomon, the evil king. And so we pick up there with that. The darling is there in the harem chamber of the king. And he is attempting to lure this darling to accept his offer of marriage. And she is on her bed, and the harem girls are in the room with her. And in her daydream, the darling begins to speak by the window. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance, and your name is like purified oil. Therefore, the maidens love you. Draw me after you, and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol you with love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. I am black, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not stare at me because I am swarthy. For the sun has burned me. My mother's sons, they are angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. Tell me, O you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your champions? If you yourself do not know, most beautiful among women, go forth on the trail of the flock and pasture your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. To me, my darling, you are like my mare among the chariots of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are lovely, your ornaments, your neck with strings of beads. We will make for you ornaments of gold with beads of silver. While the king was at his table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a pouch of myrrh, which lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves. How handsome you are, my beloved. And so pleasant. Indeed, our couch is luxuriant. The beams of our houses are cedar, our rafters and cypress. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He has brought me to his banquet hall, but His banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let His left hand be under my head and His right hand embrace me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the fields, that you do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. Listen to me, my beloved. Behold, He is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, He is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded, and He said to me, Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. And the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs. And the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the steep pathways, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. While our vineyards are in blossom, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flocks among the lilies. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. Oh, my bed night and after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. I must arise now. I must go about in the streets. Into the streets and in the squares, I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. Then the watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And I said, Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves, and I held on to him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house and into the room of her who conceived me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you will not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. What is this coming up from the wilderness like the columns of smoke? Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all scented powers of the merchants. Behold, it is the traveling couch of Solomon. 60 mighty men around it. All the mighty men of Israel. All of them are wielders of swords, expert in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. King Solomon has made for himself a sedan chair from the timber of Lebanon. He has made its post of silver, its back of gold, and its seat of purple fabric, and with its interior lovingly fitted out by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and gaze on King Solomon with the crown with which his mother has crowned him on the day of his wedding and on the day of his gladness of heart. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn ewes, which each have come up from their washing. All
of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost her young. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples are like a slice of pomegranate behind your veil. And your neck is like the Tower of David, built with rows of stones on which are hung 1,000 shields, all the round shields of the mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. May you come with me from Lebanon. Journey down from the summit of Amana, from the summit of Senir and Hermon, from the dens of lions and from the mountains of leopards. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than all kinds of spices. Your lips, my bride, drip honey. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride, a rock garden locked, a spring sealed up. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, henna, and with nard plants, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloe, along with all the finest spices. You are a garden spring, a well of fresh water, and streams flowing from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind. And come, wind of the south, make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruit. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh along with my balsam. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. Eat, friends. Drink, and imbibe deeply, O lovers. I was asleep, but my heart was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is drenched with dew. My locks with the damp of the night. I have taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? My beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused for him. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh, and on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and had gone. My heart went out to him as he spoke. I searched for him, but I did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer me. And the watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. They struck me and they wounded me. And the guardsmen of the wall took away my shawl from me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, as to what will you tell him? For I am lovesick. What kind of beloved is your beloved, O most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved that thus you adjure us? My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk and reposed in their setting. His cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet-scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His abdomen is carved, ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of alabaster, set on pedestals of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon choice as the cedars. His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Where has your beloved gone, O most beautiful among women? Where has your beloved turned, that we may seek him with you? My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of balsam, to pasture his flock in the gardens and gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, he who pastures his flock among the lilies. You are beautiful as Tisra, my darling. As lovely as Jerusalem is awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, for they have confused me. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Gilead. And your teeth are like a flock of ewes that have come up from their washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them have lost their young. Your temple are like a slice of pomegranates behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and maidens without number, but my dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only daughter. She is the pure child of one who bore her. The maiden saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines also, and they praised her, saying, "Who is this that grows like the dawn, as beautiful as the full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners?" Well, I went down to the orchard of nut trees to see the blossoms of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded or the pomegranates had bloomed. And before I was aware, my soul set me over the chariots of my noble people. "Come back, come back, O Shulamite, come back, come back, that we may gaze at you." Why should you gaze at the Shulamite as at the dance of two companies? How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. The curves of your hips are like jewels, and the work of your hands of an artist. Your navel is like a round goblet which never lacks mixed wine, and your belly is like a heap of wheat fenced about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Your eyes are like the pool of Heshbon by the gate of Bathrabim. And your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which faces towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel, and the flowing locks of your head are like purple threads. The king is captivated by your tresses. How beautiful and how delightful you are, my beloved, and all your charms. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I said, "I will climb the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruit stalks. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the fragrance of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine." It goes down smoothly for my beloved, flowing gently through the lips of those who fall asleep. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the country. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine has budded and its blossoms have opened, and whether the pomegranates have bloomed. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes have given forth fragrance, and over our doors are all choice fruits, both new and old, which I have saved up for you, my beloved. Oh, that you were like a brother to me who nursed at my mother's breast. If I found you outdoors, I would kiss you. No one would despise me either. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother who used to instruct me. I would give you spiced wine to drink from the juice of my pomegranates. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. I want you to swear, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Beneath the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she was in labor and gave you birth. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Well, the brothers show up. The darling's brother arrived to help her and to help entice her, but the darling is not going to accept the king. The brothers try to get her to accept the king, and this is what they say. We have a little sister. She has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? If she's a wall, we will build on her a battlement of silver. But if she's a door, we will barricade her with planks of cedar. Well, the darling responds, I was a wall, and my breasts were like towers. And then I became in his eyes as one who finds peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, and he entrusted the vineyard to caretakers. Each one was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for its fruit. My very own vineyard is at my disposal. The 1,000 shekels are for you, Solomon, and the 200 shekels are for those who take care of its fruit. O you who sit in the garden, my companions are listening for your voice. Let me hear it. Hurry, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. The end of the Song of Solomon. Now, let me explain. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. All right. Now we need to talk. I want to explain just a couple of things. When she is asking for the beloved, her beloved, to be like a brother or sister, it was the custom in the day, back in King Solomon's day, that brothers and sisters and dads and daughters and moms and sons could all embrace each other out in public, and it was absolutely okay.
But if you were not directly related to that family unit and you were holding a woman's hand that you were not married to, you were despised by all those who looked at you and saw you doing it. So when the beloved says, I wish you were like a sister to me so we could hold each other out in public and nobody would despise us, that's what that means. In other words, he wished that we could have the same relationship. And that relationship is coming when they are finally going to be married and they can do that. But right now they can't. The darling can't do it with the beloved, and the beloved can't do it. If they were brothers and sisters, they could, because that's the custom. Brothers and sisters could take care of. They could see their sister without a veil even after she's betrothed. But the groom could not until they were married, and neither could any other men. So I hope that answers that question. Do any of y'all have any more questions? Yes, yes, here we go.
Well, this sounds like the king gave her a choice.
The king did not really give her a choice because he wanted her. And he got his harem, his daughters of Jerusalem, to try to keep enticing her. And her response to them all but one time is, do not try to arouse my love before it's time for my love to be aroused. In other words, don't try to arouse my love for the king when my love is being saved for my beloved. This whole story is about faithfulness. She is betrothed to her beloved, and she is not going to fall for the wiles of this king who had the authority to bring her into his chamber, and she couldn't do anything about it because her beloved was off, and if the beloved had been there, the king might have killed him because Solomon did such things as that. And so what has happened here is Solomon is putting pressure on her to be his bride. The fact is, Solomon wrote this song because he's in love with her. This is probably the only woman of all the women he married or had as concubines that was a true, faithful woman worthy of being his bride, and she turns him down for the one she loves. It's an amazing thing to me how love covers a multitude of sins. I look out at all of you, and I see you with your spouses, and I see your spouses with you. Notice I didn't say your husbands and wives. I said you with spouses. And I look at the way you interact with each other, and I think, how did that couple get together? How in the world did this work out? Remember, I've been around here since 1990. How many of y'all have been here? How many of y'all came before 1990? Let's see how many we got. Okay, good. Well, there's not many of you in here that came before 1990. Okay, so we've been around, and I know people who've come, and I see you, and I know you, and I know your ups and downs and all of that, and I understand, and I think love covers a multitude of sins. It really does. It's the way God made us, and God made us have a hankering and a yearning for someone. Why would she pick a shepherd when she could have the king? Oh, but she's got to share the king. And he's not through finding shareable people. He's not through. Now, I told y'all wrong. He had 60 wives and 80 concubines. I caught that when I went through it. I told you a while ago, and I flipped it. So I'm going to have to edit that out somehow. But what's going on? He's not through with his roaming eye. He's not. And she's probably the only one that is worthy of being his wife. And he wasn't willing to wait for her. And his mother did crown him with the crown on the day that he was coronated as king. He got married that day to a woman. It happened to be a daughter of an Egyptian pharaoh because the king was to be married. So he marries the daughter of Egyptian pharaoh, and right off the bat, do you know what the daughter of the Egyptian pharaoh does? She brings the god Ra into the marriage. Not the God Jehovah. She brings her God from Egypt into the marriage. And by the time this story comes along, he's already got a bunch of them. He's got this traveling couch. Can't you just see? She's looking through the window and she says, what's this coming up through the hill? What? That's Solomon. He's made him a traveling divan. He's got all these guys who are carrying him around like he's the king of the kingdom. Well, he is the king of the kingdom. And not only that, It's not a light thing because he's made it out of wood, but he's covered it with silver and he's covered it with gold. And the daughters of Jerusalem have lovingly done the upholstery on it. You see? Another question. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Okay, I want to answer that too. If you look at the very end on the conclusion, if you pick a look on the end of the conclusion, there are people who make this to be a picture of either Israel and a relationship to God, or a picture of the church as a whole and a relationship to God. I don't hold to that. Now, if you want to say it's the church, I guess you can get away with it. But I hold to something a little more close and a little more important. This is a picture of your relationship with Jesus. The one knocks on your door. And that's more important than what's going on in the church. Did you catch it? It's a picture of your relationship with Jesus. It's a picture of your relationship with Jesus. And are you willing to remain faithful? Because this gal is faithful beyond measure to the beloved who's knocking on her door. Her beloved, Jesus. That's the way I interpret this. Now, if you want to spread it to the church as a whole, that makes it real impersonal for me. And the Bible is written for me personally. And it's written for you. And that's a great question you ask. Okay? It's written for all of you. It's written for every one of you. Yes, ma'am. So we bring that story now to a play about you, a wife being an unconsummated marriage proposal, being faithful to that husband who's gone away and one will one day come and get him. And so your relationship is exactly the same. One day in your life, you bowed your head and you asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, male or female, doesn't matter. And now you are to live a faithful life, untainted by the wilds of the worlds and the kings and all that the riches of this world can offer you. And you're waiting until the Savior, your shepherd, comes to get you. Ready? Let's go home, folks. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your word. In your name, amen and amen.